Hello, friends, and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to talk about betting the Masters is Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management for the Superbook at the Westgate. You can follow him on Twitter at Golf Odds. Jeff, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So we last talked back in July, and I'm curious to hear what things are like right now in Vegas.
Well, we went through a lot as far as sports at one time with the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, football. So it was we had some busy times there. Now things have somewhat subsided a bit with no NBA or NHL, which we're used to having in November. So it's really concentrated on the football and things like golf. NASCAR just ended up. So it's nice to see the golf this week having such a large event. And with that extra time, it's afforded me the opportunity to increase our prop menu this year. So I'm looking forward to that.
And with this, do you expect to see an increase in handle on the Masters? I mean, obviously as golf fans, we love the Masters, but I think one of the things that was a positive from the pandemic was a lot of us bet golf a little bit more than we normally would. Are you expecting that that's going to continue through the Masters?
Well, I'm hopeful for a late push on this because right now we're about 75% of what we did last year. And the main reason for that is the shelf life of this. Now, if you had bet the Masters prior to April when the tournament got postponed, it was a refund. So we had it up for almost a year and those tickets have been refunded already. So we had to put up a new pool in May since the tournament didn't occur within 8 days of the scheduled date. So basically the shelf life on our new pool is 6 months rather than eight. So our handle's down a little bit from what we had last year.
All right. So before we get into the player side of things, I want to sort of set the stage for this year in the Masters because it is different. And I want to make sure we know the changes and see how things are going to be affected. Number one, we've never had a Masters in November before. How does this change things?
Well, we looked at it from the weather standpoint, and you'd expect it to be a little bit different than April, but right now it seems pretty comparable. It just seems like the temperature is close. The wind isn't up too much other than one day. The main difference is the Bermuda that's been growing on the course. And from what I've read, it's going to be a little bit tougher chipping around the greens and controlling the ball around the greens because the extra Bermuda that's grown. So a little bit of a change, and we're expecting wet weather. So the course is going to play longer than we've seen before, but we've seen wet weather before at Augusta, but this week we're expecting particularly a long course.
Does wet weather, I know you mentioned that it's going to go longer, but I think when we look at football, wind is the big thing that can change things. But when looking at betting golf, how does rain or inclement weather change things? Does that hurt or help the players who may be at the top?
Well, I think you have to look for the longer hitters, the guys at the top of the odds board, most notably. You got Rahm, McIlroy, DJ. Obviously DeChambeau with what he's doing, but the guys that hit it far away are going to have an advantage starting out against some of the shorter hitters like a Zach Johnson per se. So you have to look at from that perspective when you're going to get wet weather throughout the whole week.
Does no crowd have a big effect one way or another on the type of player who could win or could do well on this?
Not really, but this might be an opportunity for Rory McIlroy because he's had some issues there before, and this is the one that he needs to complete the Grand Slam, and he might not have that extra pressure where he's failed. So somebody like him, it might help a little bit.
One other thing that I saw was this year, only the top 50 make the cut, not the usual rule of if you're within 10 strokes of the lead. Does that change things as much, or does that make a cut or no cut type of bet more or less attractive?
Yeah, we had to change the pricing in the make or miss the cut props slightly. And then you have even the cut score. We have to take that into account. So we just found that information out on Monday yesterday, and we had to take that into account making these props, which is why I put them out this morning.
Hold up.
It's Masters Week, and Covers has two free contests so you can get in on all the action. Visit Covers Forum to enter their Masters pool and test your golf handicapping skills for a chance to win some sweet Covers gear. Also, make sure to follow Covers on Twitter and join us on Sunday for your chance to win. Helping you make your smartest sports bets since 1995. Winning starts at Covers. Woo! All right, so now let's get to the players, and let's start with Tiger Woods. What do you currently have him at to win, and do you see a path for Tiger to potentially win this year? Because I don't think he's exactly been playing lights out or not the type of golf that we would love to see him play coming into the Masters.
Well, we're currently at 40-1, which is the highest we've been since we've had the pool up. I opened him at 16-1 back in May, and he's up to 40-1 and hasn't attracted too much interest. He's up there in ticket count, but not much in the money support. So the odds keep drifting on him. And part of that, too, is his lack of playing, lack of consistent playing while he's been playing. So he didn't even prep last week at the Houston Open. So he's really coming into this not in the greatest form, and the public really hasn't been supporting him like we've seen in previous majors.
If we wanted to fade Tiger, so everything you said, he's not been playing that well. So you're like, all right, you know what? I don't think he's really going to do that well in this tournament. How would we fade him? Would it just be in matchups? I guess I don't know if I exactly feel comfortable on him not making the cut because he's traditionally pretty good at the Masters and doesn't miss cuts in general. But how would we fade Tiger?
Well, you have the opportunity, like you said, in matchups. I've seen a couple out there, Jason Day, Matthew Wolf against him. I use Tiger against Jordan Spieth here at the Superbook and actually have Tiger a favorite there because it's two guys that have great Augusta form but aren't playing too well. That's why I put them together. But you have other opportunities such as top 20, and that price is closer to pick rather than having to lay a big price on top 5 or top 10. He's about $1.75 to $1.80 to not finish top 20, so you might want to get involved that way.
All right, so now let's get to some of their bigger names, and let's start with Bryson. What do you currently have him at right now to win? Because I believe he's the favorite everywhere or most places.
He is the favorite. I'm down to 8-1 now. I was bouncing back and forth between 9 and 10-1. Every time I went 10-1, it immediately got taken, so it didn't last long at all. And now the nines have dissipated, so he's down to 8-1. The support continues to come in, especially with the reports that are out there about what he's doing in the practice rounds. But the interesting thing is he's an underdog in his matchups to the other top guys around him, like John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy.
All right, so one thing about Bryson is hasn't exactly been the most successful at the Masters outside the top 25 in his last two Masters starts. Of course, though, he is a different player this year than he was previously, and he's not exactly coming into here on fire. Looks like he's finished 30th or worse in four of his last 8 tour events. I know we want to love Bryson because he hits it so far, but is he overvalued based on sort of what we're seeing?
Well, I think he is right now. And I think the public just wants to have a tick on him, but I wouldn't recommend betting him in single digit odds. I think he should be higher than that, especially with you look how good, how solid and deep golf is and the players that are around him. Like I mentioned, you have Rahm, McIlroy, DJ that are favored over him in matchups. And that's really more indicative of true power ratings is looking from that perspective.
So one of the things when looking at how I'm going to be betting the Masters this week is I'm hearing a lot of the Rory, DJ, Brooks, John Rahm, Justin Thomas. All of them could win. All of them are good, but I'm not exactly someone who likes to put a bunch of to win tickets out there. Also looking at the matchup side of things, a lot of those guys are going up against each other. So once again, I'm not exactly feeling value or an edge there. Is the best opportunity for us to be selecting them to top 5 or top 10, or what's the best way that we can sort of work with the mixture of players that we know are good, that are high profile, but their odds right now are so much shorter than the rest of the field?
Well, you have that ability of the top 5, top 10, like you mentioned, and you can get them at even or plus money doing that. And then I threw a prop together that has Rahm, DJ, McIlroy, or DeChambeau. Will any of the four win? So you could take the combination of four of them at plus 170 or bet against those four at minus 190. So there's different ways to find some plus money involving them.
You mentioned the thing about the props. What other type of props are you putting out there? Because looking at my own sports betting patterns, I'm finding more value in props than I do some of the traditional lines in general, looking at the football side. But certainly if I'm going to extend it to golf, I'm probably going to keep that party going.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. We put up over 200 props this year. A lot of top 5, 10s, and 20s. I think I use 60 golfers on a yes-no top 20. But then we have the winning score, which I use 273.5, which is 14.5 under. A bunch of Tiger props. The lowest round Tiger might shoot at 69.5. Plenty of things like that to whet your appetite.
I know that live betting is something that is certainly on the upswing. Do you guys have a live betting market? And if so, how does it work? Because I think that's one thing that a lot of people who are betting on golf probably haven't been doing a ton of live betting on golf. But once again, there are opportunities.
Yeah, we offer live outrights on the weekend after they do the cut on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have that available. So not a shot by shot or anything like that as far as an individual player, but live outrights to win the tournament.
Where do you see the value in this year's Masters?
Well, you can make a case for some of the guys at the top that are in double digits. John Rahm, even if you can find him at a 12-1. I've been high on Xander Schauffele. I mean, you can find him at around 16-1, and he's played as solid as those guys at the top. And if you look in the matchups, he's not that large of an underdog to that group of guys that we earlier talked about. And then someone maybe like Patrick Cantlay in the 25-1 range. He's been solid, and I know he had some putting issues, but he won the Zozo Championship in California. And when you come in with some momentum like that and then took the week off last week at the Houston Open, he could be a nice price there. One of the more popular ones with his second place finish in the Houston Open has been Hideki Matsuyama. He's been well supported. Going into last week, he was at 50-1. Now he's down to 25-1.
And I'm curious on the missed cut side of things. So we see all these good players right there, but I'm looking at the to miss the cut odds, and some of them are pretty attractive. If there was going to be one of the top 5 or 10 that does miss a cut, who would be on your radar?
I could see maybe a Brooks Koepka. He's been inconsistent over the last year, had some knee issues. And if you look in the matchup marketplace, he's an underdog to guys that have higher odds than him. So maybe someone like him at a nice price. And then outside of the top ones, there's some guys that I've been looking to fade myself. And I don't know if you can find a cut price on them, but Henrik Stenson's been dealing with a foot issue. Gary Woodland's been dealing with a labrum issue. So some of these guys, if the Masters was in April, they're obviously playing it now, but if it wasn't in November, I wouldn't expect them to be playing a normal tour stop at this time of year with the issues that they're having. So they're only playing it because it is the Masters.
I'm curious when it comes to the formula for how we're going to pick a golfer or a winner. So you mentioned the previous play, how they're doing coming into this. How much does that matter as opposed to past Masters experience? So if we look at some golfers who are coming in just not playing well, but some of them may be doing well at the Masters, what sort of formula, what's your mindset around how you evaluate someone's past performance recent versus past performance at the Masters?
Yeah, this is the one course I put a lot more stock in course form. You know, I'd say it's about 85% current form, 80 to 85 on a weekly basis. Here I could see about 60-40, where you really need to look at the course form here. As we know, a first timer usually doesn't fare well, although in recent years they've been not winning but doing better. So you definitely want to look at some guys that have done well at Augusta, put more stock into that.
Were there any other matchups that you liked or that stood out to you?
Well, like I mentioned, I went against Henrik Stenson. I went against Gary Woodland, and I did play John Rahm over Bryson DeChambeau at -110. I have John Rahm as the matchup favorite over anybody that you'd find out there. So if you can find -110 or less on him against anyone, I think that's a good bet.
One player who has been fantastic in the majors for me from a betting standpoint is Tony Finau. His last three major starts finished 8th, 4th, and 3rd. He's played the Masters twice, finished 5th and 10th. I'm curious your thoughts on Finau, because for me, I'm definitely going to be looking to either top 5 or top 10 him.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I like Finau this week. The only thing about him is he's been in position to win earlier this year, and he just doesn't come away with a W. So I think you need to look at the matchup markets and the top 5, 10, and 20 markets and give yourself some leeway with him.
Any thoughts on Bubba? He's someone that has had success previously, but I don't know as much recently, but he's someone that I could see him getting a top 10 in the Masters. What are your thoughts on Bubba this week?
I actually like Bubba. I played a little bit on him at 50-1, and he's coming in some solid form where traditionally he hasn't done well in the courses he's played, but he's been pretty consistent since golf restarted. And he's definitely one that's been under the radar for a guy that's won there twice and has a little bit of longer odds. So I don't fault anyone for wanting to get behind Bubba this week.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you or that's top of mind that may help our listeners regarding the Masters that you want to leave us with?
Well, I think this week especially, I think you should zero in on looking at some guys to fade, because there's certain reasons, like I mentioned, if you have a Stenson and a Woodland that if the Masters was played in its normal slot, wouldn't be playing it at this slot right now. And this is going to be their last tournament of the year. There's only two more PGA Tour tournaments remaining until we start up next year in Hawaii. So this is a lot of these guys' last tournament, and some of them are really, to me, only playing because it is the Masters. So if you can find these guys that are just happy to be there and don't think they might necessarily be able to win, I would look to fade guys more than be on guys.
So from what I'm understanding, based on what you told me, that would then be looking for them in matchups and or looking for them if we can find a miss the cut price.
Sure, miss cut or even finish top 20. You could lay a price on them not finishing top 20 if you can find that. So plenty of opportunities out there, but that's what I would recommend this week more so than other ones is try to zero in on some guys that you can really fade this week that might not want to be there.
Jeff, really enjoyed jamming with you. I'm super excited for the Masters. Where can everybody connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Golf Odds, and you can check out the odds that I post at the Superbook. It's on golfodds.com.
And I want to hear from you. What is going to be on your Masters card this weekend? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And one thing that I say every week is I love when you guys give us ratings and reviews on iTunes because it helps a ton. And you know what? The past few weeks, they have been coming in strong. So thank you very much. I've got two. We got BDE Bruce. 5 stars. Thank you for the love. He said, worth the listen. I have several sports betting podcasts that I listen to weekly, and this is one of my favorites. I always look forward to Wednesday to hear what Rob and his guests have to say about the upcoming games. Keep it up, buddy. You're killing it. Thank you very much, BDE Bruce. And remember, you want to be a sharp? Don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The Bocadillic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.